2 weeks ago, we preached on taking the offense. And we said that there were some offensive weapons that the church needed to use that we were not using. And the first weapon that we said that we were using, that we were not using, that we needed to use was prayer. And this is the third message, and we are saying that the message that we should use, the weapon that we should use here, is praise. And I've been thinking about that, and I wonder, and if that, what we call praise, I wonder if it's really praise to God. Because if it is, ushers, you may take your seat. If it is, we do it just a little bit. And we expect it to be like Brill cream. A little dab, do you? Don't expect to do much of it. But just in case, I stop by to tell you that praise is something that needs to be done any time that you get the opportunity. And if the opportunity seem not to present itself, you need to make an opportunity to praise God. It is more than what you see that we call devotion. Sometimes we put up on it praise and worship. It's a little bit more than that, a whole lot more than that. They sang a song. They said, praise is what I do. Amen. It's not what you do if you can only do it at a certain time. Praise to God have to be just like breathing, y'all. You breathe 24 hours a day. You ought to be praising him. And I know you're so intelligent and smart. You're saying, Baggett, if I praise him all the time, I won't sleep. Yes, you will. You can praise him when you're sleeping. Because you can sleep holy. You can just praise him. Because he's worthy to be praised. I don't have this down in my notes. I haven't got to my notes yet, y'all. But I thought about this little story that I told about two boys. One of them inviting the other one to go to church with him. They were sitting there in church. And I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. But they were sitting there in church, and the people were shouting and clapping and running all over the place. And both of them sitting there like a knot on a log. Neither one of them moving or doing it, just sitting there. So on the way back, they walked to church, and they had to walk back. So boy A invited boy B. So boy A asked boy B, said, are you saved? He said, yeah, I'm saved. Said, well, why you wasn't involved in the service? Boy B turned around to boy A and said, are you saved? He said, yeah. He said, well, I didn't see you doing anything either. Don't you be like that. Don't you feed off of somebody else to decide whether you praise God. And let me stick a pin in that and burst that balloon. Because you know how to play church. Help me, Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean that you're praising God. You could be doing it just for you. Yeah, every now and then, God bring this to my mind. Let me remember it. My wife spoke here at Macedonia one time before I started preaching and before I was committed to God. I heard about her going to speak. So what did I do? I came to church. Everybody from Macedonia was glad to see me. And I just felt like they thought I was all right, but I wasn't all right. But I came to church with my wife and my son to hear her speak. I'm saying that because just because you attend.
Yes. Go ahead.
And I don't remember whether I clapped my hands or said amen to anything she said or not, but I was in church. And some of us think that's all we got to do. God ought to be glad that y'all see me. Title this the weapon of praise from Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. I know everybody know this. It's raining outside.
Amen, Lord.
So it's going to rain for about the next 35 or 40 minutes. So y'all will have a reason to stay in here and hear this message. See, God fixes stuff. Y'all, see, God fixed stuff. Because I got 7 pages here, y'all. God fixed stuff, and most of you done been baptized one time, and you don't want to get wet again, so God fixed it. Somebody need to hear about praising God. One of the great weapons of attack is prayer. And that follows after prayer is praise. You can consider praise a type of prayer. In the Bible, praise is frequently related to God's awesomeness or his fearfulness. Praise calls forth from God's supernatural intervention and is also an appropriate response to that intervention. In Exodus chapter 15, is found a song that Moses and Israel sang after their deliverance from Egypt. And after Pharaoh's army had been destroyed by the water of the Red Sea, God delivers his people through trials of life. But when we experience his deliverance, when we experience the power of his hand upon our lives and our heart, we are always filled with joy and rejoicing. Praise has a tendency to flood our heart. And usually, greater the deliverance, greater the praise of lifting up the name of God. But can I stop by to tell you that after God have delivered you, you still need to praise him. It's been 6 months since I took my last diabetic pill.
Hallelujah.
But I still praise God. I'm going to continue to praise God. Because God has blessed me and he have done what I asked him to do. And can I just tell you, he's not through with me yet. God's great deliverance at the Red Sea was one of the most wonderful deliverance the nation of Israel was ever to experience as a nation. Therefore, in his infinite wisdom, God stirred the heart of his prophet Moses to put down or to write down how he felt about him. You do understand praise is how you feel about God, about what God have done for you, about how you gonna how you appreciate what he's done for you. This song is usually divided into sections, or as we call them, stanzas. The first verses of the song, when it's sung in with Moses' name, it was verses 1 through 5. The second verse was verses 6 through 8. Now, this is just a point of information. I'm not going to preach it like that. The third verse was verses 9 and 10. The fourth verse was verses 11 and 12. The fifth verse was verses 13 through 18. Verses 19 through 21 was Miriam's song. The women had to get in the praise as well. See, God God brought non-discrimination in a long time ago. He include everybody. God has an inclusive gospel. And when it come time to praise him, everybody ought to get in on the praises. Amen. In our message, we're going to skip verse 1 and 2 until we get to the end. Verses 3 through 12 is point 1. A song of God's great deliverance. God delivered his people by his name. His name is Jehovah. Yahweh, which means the God of our Redeemer. God of our deliverance. God my Savior. I stop by to tell you that the Lord will fight for us. God will stand against our enemy for us. God will conquer all oppositions for us. God will triumph and gain a victory over all the forces of evil for us. I'm talking about this God that's called Jehovah. This God that called Yahweh. Somebody will praise him when you leave here today. But somebody will praise him while you're here. And there will be somebody that will not want you to think that they're praising him at all. This God that we're talking about, he did all of this for the nation of Israel. He hurled Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea. He drowned the best of Pharaoh's officers in the Red Sea. He covered and sank them in the depths like it was a stone. The place where Israel crossed the Red Sea was not a shallow place. It was a large body of water, a body so large that it drowned the Egyptian army when God released the two walls to come back together again. God just has a tendency to deserve the praise of his people. Moses was trying to get them to see that God is an awesome God. God delivered his people right by the right hand of his power. The right hand is a symbol of power. God is, that big word is omnipotent, meaning that he has all power. The little rabbit that run around with the ever-ready battery does not have any power. You ought to look at the power of God by his right hand could destroy a nation like the nation of Israel. God's all right, y'all. The Lord destroyed and dashed the Egyptian army into pieces. Look at him. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, when God get ready to move, his people don't have to do anything. I'm trying to get you to see why we ought to just praise him. I'm trying to get you to see. I want you to put yourself where the children of Israel were and see if you have reason to praise this God that we serve. Listen to me, if you will. He has power to deliver and save us from any forces that will come against us. No matter how terrible or how terrifying it may be, God delivered his people by the greatness of his majesty. Pharaoh and his army had said what they were going to do. Pharaoh and his army did not rise up against the nation of Israel. They rose up against God. See, that's why, brothers and sisters, you need to understand when your enemy come against you, they don't just come against you. They come against this God that you serve. That's why you don't need to worry about it. I'm trying to get you to see why you ought to just praise this God. God counted Israel as his own. So to rise up against Israel or believers is the same thing as rising up against God himself. Listen to me. I don't believe that there is a parent that's worth the salt that goes in the bread, that if you attack their child, you attacking them. A lot of parents would rather you attack them first. So then if you attack them and you get the children, they won't see it. But we got to understand that if we're like that about ours being sinful men and women, how do we think God is about us, a holy and a righteous God? That's why I don't worry about nothing, nobody. When you come come after me, that's all right. I'll be like Peter was last week. I'll be asleep between whatever you're going to try to get me, because you got to get by God before you can get to me. That's why I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him because he's worthy to be praised. God delivered his people by his control over the water. Notice the blast that God's nostrils, it said that he just blew his nostrils and the water parted. He's control over y'all, and y'all have to excuse me. My mind goes to the New Testament when his son was down there and he sent his disciples across to the other side, and he went up on top of the mountain to pray at about the last watch in the morning. He came walking on water, and I thought about that right there. I said, God is still God, and he's worthy to be praised. I said, he's doing the same thing again. He is in control. Don't you one time think that God is not in control. You just ought to praise him, because nobody knows what you've been through, but you know what you've been through. That's why you ought to praise him, because he's worthy to be praised. He divided the water. He made it part. Listen to me. I don't know how wide it was at this time, but I did a little study about when Jacob, when they crossed the Jericho River, God told him, said, I don't want nobody to be more than 2,000 cubits to close to where the ark is. And I kind of put the pen and pencil to that. And I read somewhere where it was 4/5 of a mile, 1/8 of a mile. God didn't want nobodies, no Israelites that close to the ark. And I said, bang it. I said, what kind of God is this? I said, he's an awesome God that can make water stand up on itself. Water stand up on itself. Stack itself up and let me come by. Some of us can follow me with this. I got in my truck when I first did that, and I drove from here. And I went all the way down McClellan, all the way to where McClellan touched Dugan, and start down Dugan's on the back road. And I got 1/8 of a mile. I said, there was no Israelite in that close to the temple, to the ark. I said, well, how far did God back the water up? Who do he think he is, God? He backed it up, y'all. There was no Israelite within 1/8 of a mile of the ark. So how far did he back the water? This God, and you're going to tell me I don't need to praise that God? Yes, I do. I need to praise him, because he brought me. And some of us, he's held trouble back farther than that away from you. Yeah, uh-huh. That's why mamas and daddies and papas and mamas, don't you stop praying for this next generation. Because, see, what you don't know, or what they didn't tell you, that generation in front of you. Yeah. They prayed for you. That's why you are where you are today. Because they prayed for you. Yeah. Okay, let me finish this. I wonder if he did it like this. I wonder what it would have done if he would have done it. I know y'all don't think like I think, but I just wonder sometimes. He's an awesome God. Pharaoh and his army was talking about what all they were going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. But God delivered his people based upon the bitter hatred of the enemy, of the mind that they had of the Egyptian. In the mind of the Egyptian, the Hebrews were scum. They were the scum of the earth. They had no respect whatsoever for shepherds. They thought shepherds were the bottom of the barrel. They had no love for them. They were detestable. They were shepherds. They were people only worthy of being enslaved. And so they were going to go back, catch them, and enslave them again. I wrote a great big word down here, and I wrote it twice. It's but. But. And I wrote it twice. But God. But why are you trying to emphasize that? They forgot whose people they were. They were God's people. They were talking about what they were going to do, but God. They forgot about, or they didn't know about this. They had forgot what had happened to them in Egypt with the 10 plagues. Every one of those plagues that God put on them was defeating one of their gods. All of their gods were defeated. God hadn't got started. And brothers and sisters, we need to remember this right here in our lives too. Whenever or whatever comes, you need to say, but God. But God. No matter what the situation is, but God. And most of the times when you find it in the Bible, God is just about fixing to do something. And it's going to be great, because God doesn't do anything that's not great. Pharaoh and then the army was talking about what they was going to do, but they forgot one thing. God had promised to deliver his people to the promised land. And I have not been able to find yet where God have not fulfilled a promise. He was going to keep that promise. But Pharaoh had his own agenda. Like some of us, we got our own agenda. But God will do what he said. God delivered his people by his matchless person. There is nobody, nowhere like God. Nothing or nobody like God. God's holiness. Nobody is holy like God. In God's glory. Nobody has the glory like God has the glory. God can work wonders. Work wonders. The Lord stretched out his right hand and the earth swallowed up Pharaoh and his army. I thought about doing a little experiment, but y'all just give me control of your mind for just a little while. In this ball right here is liquid. Y'all, I'm going somewhere. Don't y'all leave. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, y'all watch this now. Can everybody see this? Watch this now. I hope this works. I haven't tried this. That's at the bottom. I dropped it. It went straight to the bottom. That's how God wiped out Pharaoh. It was just about that long. Just about that long. Because see, God, when God is in control of all things, he can do just what he needs to do to get his point across. I read somewhere in studying for this message, it says that he read it in the scriptures. It said it fell like a stone. Like a stone in water. Get a rock or something and drop it in a cup of water and see how fast it goes to the bottom. It can't stand. It's too heavy. And God wiped them out just like that. The message in that is, don't you see Pharaoh and his army? you see your problem or your situation. God can wipe it out just like that. But you got to believe. You got to know that he can do it. Point number two. God's glorious purpose. This is in verses 13 through 18. God's glorious purpose is to lead the redeemed to the Holy Land. Yeah. I am redeemed. I'm bought with a price. I am redeemed. Don't know any more of the song, but I just know that I am redeemed. And I'm redeemed. I've been bought with a price. And God's purpose here is to lead me to the promised land. The promised land in this passage is definitely referring to the promised land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they were going to inherit. But for me and for you, the promised land is in glory. When Jesus come back after his church, the enemy will stand in the way of Israel's march to claim the promised land of inheritance. But God would cause the hearts of the enemy to melt. These verses point to the future, and they point to the future for Israel as well during the actual living of this time. They declare the assurance of God. This declares the assurance of God's people in the great promise of God. The source of God's purpose is his mercy, his love. God has demonstrated his mercy and love by redeeming his people. You notice that I keep calling them his people. His people are you and me as well if we are serving a true and a living God. God, he had saved them from the bondage of slavery by delivering them from their enemy through the Red Sea. God's people could trust the mercy and the love of God. It's God's mercy and love that redeemed us, that saves and delivers us throughout our lives, throughout whatever you're going through. If you love and trust in Jesus Christ, I promise you that God will see you through. Don't worry if Pharaoh's army is coming up behind you. Don't worry. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I need you, God, to be with me in all my troubles. When my trouble come and I don't know where to go, I need you then. I'm trying to get you to see why we need to praise God. The impact of God's leadership and guidance was clearly seen. God would not rest because of his powerful was upon his people. His people were praying and they were talking to God. Look at what happened to the enemy. The nations, the other nation around would hear and tremble about what God have done. The enemy would be in anguish. The leaders would be terrified and tremble, and the enemy would melt away. People would be gripped with fear and dread and be still as a stone. No enemy will ever be able to stand or stop God from leading his people to the promised land. And the promised land is in glory. See, when God fixes something, he fixes it. You can't see the end. I keep saying this, but God can see the end from the beginning. All we got to do is put our trust and our faith in God, and God will stop to see about you. Point number three, Miriam's song. God didn't leave anybody out. In the day of Israelites, the men did all the worshiping. They were the head and they were leading. And what God was trying to do was trying to get somebody to step up and step out and do what thus saith the Lord. He was trying to get man to see that you need to be in charge just like I am. But man failed somewhere down the line. He wouldn't step up to the plate. That's why God, sisters, put these two verses in here about Miriam. It said the women came with tambourines and they began to shout and began to praise God. Ain't God all right? God will. God
God's an inclusive God. He includes everybody. You can't get to heaven on my praise, and I can't get on yours. Everybody got to praise God for themselves. The old folks used to say, every tub must sit on its own bottom. You got to praise God for what God have done for you. If you praise him, he will provide just what you need. You have to praise him because he've already blessed you. Well, I asked myself a question. When did Miriam sing this song? And then I answered myself right after God's glorious deliverance. Brothers and sisters, if you want to praise God, as soon as he deliver you, you praise him. And if you praise him, it will be present in your mind. And then it'll be easier to praise him. If you wait and say, I'm going to wait until I get in church Sunday morning, somebody just might get in your way. You ought to praise him as soon as he bless you. When he bless you, you ought to praise him. You might be in the doctor's office and he bless you. You ought to praise him then. You can throw up holy hands and say, praise the Lord. God, I thank you for all that you've done. You just got to praise him. Don't wait. Don't wait. It said, wait on the Lord. It didn't say for God to wait on you. You ought to praise him as soon as he bless you. I'm going to praise him. That's why I can't keep my mouth closed. When I start talking about blessings, I get tired of telling people about how good God is. I get tired in my flesh talking about God and how good he is. He done blessed me, y'all, and I ain't ashamed to tell it. He blessed me. He blessed me. He blessed me. And I'm going to praise him with every breath I have. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for praising me. I got to help me, Holy Ghost. Lord, bless me. I'm like Jabez. Don't just bless me. Bless me indeed. Bless me, Lord, so I can tell somebody about how good you are, how you bless me, Lord. God, God will bless you. But we've gotten to the point where we are ashamed to praise him. He's worthy to be praised. Jesus said, going into Jerusalem, if these would hold their peace, the rocks would cry. I don't want no rock crying out for me. A rock don't know how good God done been to me. I'm just glad he blessed me. Point number four. This is from verse 1 and 2. A song of God's praise. Listen to me. The Lord is the focus of the praise. When I talk about God healing me of diabetes, I don't want you to see me. I don't want you to see me. I want you to see God. Because the focus is on God, not on me. It's on God. And this is what Moses was trying to get the children of Israel to see in verse 1 and 2. He wanted the focus to be on God. Moses and the Israelites was flooded with great joy of a moment. And their hearts were just overflowing with the spirit of rejoicing and praising to God. Y'all have to excuse me. I don't know nothing about nobody else but me, but I just remember. I just thought about a message I heard that Dr. King did on Call to Conscience. When the Gold Coast and the British colony were had the Gold Coast enslaved and they were free. Said Dr. King said it was an amazing sight to look at the enslaved and the enslaver. at that banquet dancing together.
All right.
Dancing together for the same cause, for freedom of a people. Now, let's do something. Let's jump from physical to spiritual. Me and God dancing together after he set me free. After I allowed him to set me free. I was being held against the will of God, but I was helping him to hold me. You help the devil hold you in sin because you will not come to God. And there's not a person hardly alive that have not heard about the saving grace of God. God will.
Okay.
The Lord had a glorious victory on behalf of his people when he hurled Pharaoh's army and his horses into the Red Sea and drowned them. The Lord had a glorious deliverance from them being recaptured and enslaved again by the Egyptians. The Lord had miraculously drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. This was the greatest day of redemption in the history of the Israelites. Listen, God does some amazing things in behalf of his people. All of the sin that you committed, God is able to forgive you of all of those sins. But you have to ask him. You have to put yourself in the way so he can rain on you. So he can rain his blessings. What's that song? Showers of blessings. When we put ourselves in the way, God will bless you. He'll bless you so much you won't have room to receive. You'll come to God with a number 3 wash tub, and he'll fill it up. If you come to him with a thimble, he'll fill it up. But you need to come with wide openness. And see, when you open yourself real wide, God get all of that stuff. All of that stuff. I had a supervisor one time. He complained about the custodians because he took a toothpick or stick and put it in the corner of a building. And he went back a month later and it was still there. They had passed inspection, but that toothpick was still over there. And that wasn't me because I said toothpick, y'all. That wasn't me. It was still over there. And he told them, said, "You're doing an excellent job." He said, "But you're not cleaning the entire building." I said, "Well, what are we doing wrong?" He said, "Shut up." And he walked them all over there and showed them that toothpick. Said, "I put that over there a month ago. And it's still there." So now how are you cleaning this whole building? But see, when you open yourself up to God, God will go in every nook, every cranny, every crack, every crevice, and he'll clean out all the sin that you will let him have. Now, if you want to keep some of them, he'll let you keep them. But if you open yourself up to God, He'll clean you out because he's willing to do that. And well, I won't say this about all y'all, but I'll say it about me. Some of them, we think they're so good that we think we can take them into heaven with us. No, you can't take it. It's not. You have to give it all up. And if you give it all up to God, guess what he'll do? He'll replace it with something better. But you got to give it up. You got, if you give it up, God will supply just what you need. And I know you want to hold on. Some of the things you want to hold on to, they just might not be sin, but they may keep you from submitting everything to God. God is a jealous God. He does not want you put nothing or nobody in front of him. And if it's something, even if it's going to see your buddies who do all this stuff that you don't do, and you go see them all the time, you need to quit. You need to quit going to see them all the time. You need to let them come to where you are sometime. And when they come to where you are, you can just flap the gospel all over them. But most of us, when we infringe on other people's territory, we don't want to let God shine through. What do you think Jesus did when he came down here? This was Satan's territory. When he entered the world, he entered Satan's territory. And he never stopped being the Son of God. Let me get on so I can let y'all go. Y'all probably start looking at your clock now. God is therefore worthy of praise and a renewal of our commitment. When you look at those first two verses, look how personal the Lord was to the Israelite believers during this moment. His heart just broke. Moses' heart just broke forth with praise to God. And this is how it is. This was it. The Lord is my strength. Whatever problem the believer face, God is his strength to get through it. Without God, it is impossible. Brothers and sisters, without God, you can do nothing. But if you turn it over to God, all things are possible. The Lord is my song. This song that you're singing, it need to be about God and to God. The believers know that the world and its afflictions can take his life, but not his soul. He knows that he is going to serve God forever in the new heaven and the new earth. I am weak within myself, but with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. This is the heart of the Israelites after God had saved them coming through the Red Sea. The Lord is my salvation. My enemies are always attacking and threatening me. But God is my salvation. God is the one that will save me no matter what my enemy do. No matter what they throw against me, God is the one that will save you. The Lord is my God. That's personal right there. He's my God. He is the true and the living God. Each Israelite had a reason to stand up and shout, "The Lord, he is my God." Because they had all just walked through the Red Sea on dry land. Then they could say, "The Lord is my father. The Lord is my father." Their father's father. They had been taught. Their fathers had taught them to believe God and his great promise of going into the promised land. God, you promised me. That's why when you go back and you read the Bible, you find where they talked about the promises of God. God had not failed them. He had always kept his promise. His word had always been true. He promised their father's father, said, "This is your land." And it's to the day. It might not be their land today, but it is their land because God gave them a deed. When God write a deed, can't anybody revoke the deed? They can't quit claim it. They can't tax it out. But God gave the deed. When God give the deed, then praise ought to come forth. I will praise him with everything I have. Brothers and sisters, we miss out on praise. We only think that praise is at the beginning of a worship service. I stop by to tell you, praise is when you go outside the outside doors to God. That's when you praise him in the world that are not aware of him. The world have to see God in you. Listen to me. And when you praise him, you're on the offense. You're not defensively. You're offense. You're trying to score. don't try to get him out of your life. Don't let him in. I'm going to keep saying that for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't know how much long after, because we want to get the devil out of our lives. Don't let the joker in. Then you will not have to get him out. Praise God. Praise him. Praise him. And all of you all that clap your hands when the choir and all are singing, don't stop doing that. Don't stop doing that. But that ain't all it is to praise. That ain't all it is. That's, what's that thing you order before your meal? Yeah, that's what that is. That's an appetizer. That's an appetizer. Anybody can order appetizer when you go to eat. Anybody can. But anybody can't order everything that's on the menu. Because you can't eat it all, so you just order one thing. So anybody can praise him like this and might even get to shouting and dancing. Anybody can do that. But when you leave this place next week, next Wednesday, around the water cooler, are you going to praise him then? All right. Or when you at Walmart and you see your friend, you see your buddy, and you got your six pack in the bucket, are you going to praise him then? Or when that person passed you and are you going to praise him then? What you going to do? That's real. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's when you got to praise him. Don't just eat an appetizer. We went to Applebee's the other day. They brought us some chips and some dip. And I ate that. But I was looking for something else. I was looking for something else after that. That's what, I'm sorry, you know, I do that too, but it's something else after that. You got to praise him. You got to praise. That's just a warm-up. I'm through. Tell your story. And I didn't have one on my paper, but God brought this one to my mind, so I'll tell you. Y'all, when y'all see Brother Doug, y'all tell him I spoke well of Tuskegee Institute. I'm using them in my illustration today, in my story today. And y'all can tell, it's not Tuskegee Institute, I'm dating myself, it's university now. At Tuskegee University, they were in a religion class, and the professor was a hard-nosed atheist. He didn't believe in God. And so it was a young man who was about to graduate in the back, and he was a believer, and they were talking about this subject that we just quit talking about in Exodus. And the professor said, anybody that think that God could part the Red Sea and the children of Israel walk across on dry land, said, I stopped to tell them they are mistaken. Said the Red Sea, where they walked across, was only ankle deep. Said it was not. It was not that deep. And the young man in the back raised his hand and said, Professor, I beg to differ. Said the Bible says that it covered them and it drowned them and they were drowned. He said, no, say history have proven that the water was only ankle deep. And said, so it could not have drowned them. The young man in the back of the classroom just stood up and just started shouting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The professor said, what's wrong with you? Said, are you crazy? Said, I just told you that the water was only ankle deep. He said, Professor, I'm shouting because God could drown all them people and them horses in ankle deep water. No matter what the situation is, God can do what he said he would do. God is an awesome God. Brothers and sisters, and please, ma'am, and please, sir, don't stop praising him, because praise is what we need to do. We need to just praise God. Not sometime. We need to praise him all the time. And if the only time you think about praising is when you're in worship service, you are missing a blessing. You are missing a blessing. Praise is what we need to do. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to come to God. If you don't know Jesus Christ up close and personal, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ just as you are.